Welcome to Talking Cloud with Chris Savage, the show serving up the loudest takes on building businesses, top-notch products, and unforgettable brands. I'm here today with Claire Wasserman, author of Ladies Get Paid and founder of a global platform and community that helps women earn more. So we're going to dig deep into Ladies Get Paid in a moment, but obviously the show is called Talking Too Loud, so I have to start by asking the question, what's got you talking too loud?
Chris, you're on my good side. This is the one I prefer. So that's what's got me talking too loud. Just kidding. I must be so happy to be here or haven't had enough coffee. Okay, what has me talking too loud?
At least it was caffeinated. Yeah.
Barely. I just want everyone to know how freaking difficult it is to run businesses, to start businesses, and let alone business, just living life. There is struggle. And I think the more we talk about it, the more we realize we're not alone. Sometimes that realization is enough to just go,
totally. Oh,
it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, let's go further into that. So, I mean, talking about the struggles and sharing your story with the world. How do you think about that? How do you think others should think about sharing struggles?
Yeah. My first response was about to be, depends on what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
But actually, we want everyone to go outside their comfort zone just a little.
Yeah. Okay.
It's strategic authenticity is how I like to think of
yeah,
it.
That's cool.
So we were talking right before about when you are completely yourself, it relieves a big burden.
Yeah.
But it also, I think, introduces a new challenge,
yes.
which is now you're exposed to a certain extent. So that's where we need to think, all right, I'm going to be myself, but I'm not going to necessarily share every single thing, right? So how can I express who I am in a way that's going to help another person? I think that's the kind of sort of expression we need to be as business leaders, quote, personal brands. It's really never about self as it is about service.
Yeah, helping others through sharing
yeah.
and telling stories. Do you have a line that you like are not, you don't want to share? Like, is there something that's like, on this side, I'm not asking you to tell me those things.
No, I'm just thinking my ex-husband has a line that he doesn't want me to share. You know, sorry.
But he's not you, so.
Yeah, no, and I left my husband for a woman in my community and came out at age 30. And I mean, it massively informed not just who I am, but who I am in this world. And that's, of course, my business and how I operate. And so I don't think I really have a line other than, no, I like to share things as I'm struggling through it so people can see the process.
Yeah.
It's a big part of my podcast. It's me coaching other people. And it's sort of less about the answers as it is about the experience
the
of getting through it.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. And interesting, I think, because like taking people along on the journey and not, and you don't know where it's going to end up and they don't know where it's going to end up inherently creates some drama, but it's the actual drama that exists in our lives.
Yeah, I once, so when I was writing my book, Ladies Get Paid, I had trouble finishing one of my chapters. It was on perfectionism. My therapist at the time said, oh, Claire, of course you can't finish this chapter. You haven't figured out your own perfectionism.
Yeah.
So then that, of course, begs the question of, well, who am I to share things if I haven't yet figured it out?
Yeah.
I think we just need to be one step ahead.
Yeah.
So you learn a little, throw it back. Learn a little, throw it back.
It's funny you say that. When I was starting my company, Wistia, I at one point started sharing stories of where we were. And I thought, like, a lot of things seemed kind of simple. Because it was like, all right, this is how you sell, or this is how you market, or this is what a good culture looks like. And then the deeper I get into it, the longer I've done it, like, I know all the gray. Like, I know where it's like, it isn't as simple as it looks. And it took figuring out how to share the things that I'm like just figuring out to get back to sharing really simple things.
Yeah. Well, I always have a disclaimer of like, take my advice, but get a therapist too. Or take it with a grain of, you know, don't hold me responsible for quitting your job or your marriage. I've had people do both. Listen, it's just through my one experience.
Yeah.
And the reason I think that's also important to disclaim is there's privilege in all of it.
Yeah.
Right. And I never prescribe, especially with money, you know, do this or don't do that, because it is totally embedded in your own personal history, all the baggage that's come before you.
Totally. All right. Let's dig into money a little bit. So you spent your career empowering and coaching women on self-advocacy. What's one practical strategy you'd recommend for women who want to negotiate a raise but feel intimidated?
Mm-hmm. I think with negotiating your salary, it's all about your impact on the business bottom line, okay? So how does what you do affect the financial ecosystem of who you work for? Depending on your role, though, that might be difficult.
Yeah.
If you're in sales, easy, so to speak, right?
Yeah.
I brought in X dollars, I want a Y raise. For a lot of women, though, we're in roles, it's a bit abstract. So we really need to do our research, creative research, of how there's a domino impact. I do one thing, and now it affects another team that might bring in the money, which means the research on your work needs to start well before it's time to ask for a raise, as does planting the seeds. So you're not the only one telling everybody you want a raise. You've got advocates. So there's a lot of kind of strategy to it. I just don't want anyone to think you have to be kind of Machiavellian.
Yeah.
The company's excited to hear that you did great work. They
Correct.
Want you to tell them that you're bringing in money for them. They're relieved to know that they don't have to fire you, you know?
Yeah. And I think you're the agency of, like, you're in control of your growth if you can figure out how to impact the business.
Right. And again, for some women, some roles, it's, you know, they're not given opportunities to be, you know, client facing or to have what they're called, it's called glamour roles. I didn't even make that up. Glam roles.
I haven't heard that.
These are roles in which it is easier to make the case that you impacted the bottom line.
Yeah.
If that's not something you're given, it really is on us to figure out how do we pitch.
Yeah.
My entire career, I really was made to be an entrepreneur because within the jobs I had, I was always finding opportunity to make the company more money and then saying, hey, if we dedicate X dollars to this, I think we'll get Y return. Just one quickly thing on that. It's not about paying you for fairness or a reward. It's an investment in the future of the company with you.
Yeah. If you're making a huge impact and you can make the case and it's true, then people are like, well, I want you to make more impact.
Yes.
And you get more opportunities and you get more scale and like, and then the company rewards you for that.
Yeah,
but
it is tough.
I think it's tough for people to, for everyone to figure out, especially as companies get bigger, how they do that. Mm-hmm. But I think like, if you can find some area of the business or something, like there's a reason you have a job. Like it's to help the company somehow, right?
So and also there's a margin on your paycheck, right? So if you are employed by a company, they are making money off of you.
Yeah.
Otherwise you don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
So you really need to know what that is.
Yeah.
And by the way, it isn't just making money for the company, it's saving time as well.
Absolutely.
That can be easier for some people depending on their roles. If you can demonstrate that you, I don't know, improved a process, made it more efficient.
Yeah.
If you negotiated discounts with vendors, like time is money. And that might be where you focus your case.
Okay. On your podcast, Ladies Get Paid, you dive into conversations about financial wellness. What's the most surprising thing you've learned from those money conversations?
Oh, man. I mean, this is not just from my podcast. It's from my whole life and from, you know, information is not enough to take action. It's always how we feel about the information that will be either the catalyst or the paralysis to doing anything with it. For myself, right, I have enough money to invest in a mutual fund, but it feels scary. It feels risky. Notice I said the word feel.
Yeah,
I don't want to not validate feelings. Feelings are valid, but they're not facts, okay? Because if I look at the numbers, look at the math, I can do it. So much of my education, my coaching, my podcast is working through not just what do you need to do, but how do you feel about it?
Yeah.
And then coming up with a strategy to help that person through the emotions of it.
And how do you think about feelings that like might be irrational or rational? Like how do you how do you calibrate around that? Because like sometimes I'm afraid of doing something, but I know I need to, you know?
I think actually the word irrational might be the problem because it sort of invalidates it and it puts a burden on yourself to say, get over it or you're crazy or something.
Yeah.
There's a reason you have that feeling. It's meant to protect you actually,
right?
Yeah. From risk.
Yeah.
And so I think first to just honor it and say, you know, I appreciate that you're here to help me feeling, but it's all about the story that you tell yourself.
So like recognize why.
Yeah.
And go like go beneath it to understand.
Build a relationship with it.
Yeah.
I'll give a quick example. Even, you know, now I'm going to speak later today. I always get really nervous. And then I realize, wait, what's happening in my body is literally the same sensation as if I were excited.
Yeah.
And that is not untrue to say to myself, I'm excited more than I am nervous.
Totally.
That's not lying to myself.
That's a perfect example, I think. I think a lot of people have that exact feeling. I've had that feeling.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, am I just nervous because I care a lot?
Yes.
And it's like, yes, I do care. And like, would it be weird to not care?
Right.
Like, should I do it if I don't care?
And also it's energy too, right?
Yeah.
Like if you were numb, didn't give a shit, like, sorry about the cursing. Sorry or not sorry.
We encourage cursing
here. Okay, cool.
Okay, what's one money myth you think we should all stop believing right now?
The money myth that we should all stop believing, especially women, is that you were bad at money or just because you were not, quote, good at math in third grade, right, and had some trauma from it, being bad at my multiplication tables. I should not write myself off and say, oh, therefore you are bad at business. I actually want to bring back the feelings for one quick second. Anytime that we say I am, okay, so we make a declarative identity statement, like I am bad at math.
Yeah.
I actually would love us to change the word am with feel.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm bad at math. That's actually more correct.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, what I see many of the women in my community and myself is just the narrative that, oh, I'm just not good at it. No, I feel like I'm not good at it. And I can work on that.
That's awesome. I think that identity point is really interesting. I've been thinking a lot about that in terms of like the habits that you build that become your identity or then it becomes very easy to manage. Mm-hmm. Do you have like habits that you would encourage people do to to try to get a better, you know, a better handle on how they deal with money.
Yeah. So how they deal with money, how you deal with money is how you deal with life. It's just another thing. It's just a, you know, it's really a metaphor, I think, for worth and power and all the things that we want and sometimes feel like we can't have. Really develop a practice. I like doing it in the morning, but also throughout the day, just a few minutes where you really get in tune with your inner voice. And this is a voice that is calm, compassionate, clear, because there's just so many parts of ourselves pulling us in different directions, as well as investors or employees. I mean, how much time in the day do you actually give to you and yourself in a very quiet space? It's hard to do.
Yeah, actually. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, we're going to go to wild cards now. What's a movie you could watch again and again?
Oh God, To Kill a Mockingbird. I'm a dork. Yeah, I wanted to be cool and be like Wet Hot American Summer. Like, no.
I like that. That's a cool one.
Yeah,
I love Wet Hot, but it's
that's
like
because we're—I don't know how old you are, but I'm guessing we're like millennials.
Yeah, millennials.
Erring on the elder millennials.
Yeah, the geriatric.
Yeah, I'm 37.
Millennial.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the best book you've read this year?
The best book I've read this year, The Perfectionist Guide to Losing Control.
I think I
got the title right.
Okay.
This book was so good, I bought it in hardcover and in Kindle. I've never done that before.
Really?
Not even for my own book.
That's impressive.
Excellent. What I love about this book is it's all about how this thing, perfectionism, which oftentimes we go, ugh, I wish I didn't have it. How do we leverage it as a superpower?
Yeah.
Right. Cool. You're just going to stop fighting yourself if you see all of your attributes, no matter which ones you don't like, as things that are actually helping you.
Yes. Who's your brand crush at the moment?
Brand crush. Oh, my gosh. If I say HubSpot.
You can say whoever you want.
That's so cheesy because we're here.
Yeah.
No, I think HubSpot's amazing. You know why HubSpot's so amazing? Well, one of the reasons is I am frequently on their blog. And I'm not even in their network because my company's too small, so we don't have a use for the product. But I am always on that blog, learning resources, sharing them.
That's awesome.
It's really, again, it's not about self-promotion, it's about service promotion, and they do an excellent job at that.
That's awesome. Claire, thank you so much. Where can people follow you, connect with you to learn more?
Yeah, so ladiesgetpaid.com, also coachmeclaire.com, LinkedIn. I'm a real person. I want to connect with real people, so LinkedIn's probably the best way. I have some space for a few more clients the rest of this year if anyone's looking to be coached, whether they're full-timers or entrepreneurs.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Chris.